Minister one day was in the middle of a fundraising campaign, and they were wanting to build a new addition onto the church, and he said, anyone that will donate $1,000, I will let him pick out the next three hymns. Heard this? So anyway, some elderly lady in the front raised her hand, and he said, you'll give $1,000? This is for the benefit of those that haven't heard it. And she said, yes, I will. And he said, well, you can pick out the next three hymns. And she said, I'll take him and him and him. We won't do it that way. You know, I've often thought, why are some people happy? And why are other people going around trying to make the happy people unhappy? Think about that. I think it's a valid question to wonder and think about that. Roger read it. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy are those who find wisdom and those who gain understanding. If I was a betting person, and I'm not that big a betting person. I don't bet on the lottery because I don't buy a ticket. But if I win, I'm going to give you some money. But the majority of people, I think, in this world would love to be happy. And most likely that's what their desire is, and that's what motivates them. And that's what motivates a great many things in our lives, is doing things to make us happy and make others happy. Make our children happy. Make our grandchildren happy. Make our great-grandchildren happy. And I think that's really what we really want. But do we know what makes us happy? Do we believe in happiness? Is happiness just an emotion? Is it a feeling? What in the world is happiness? Abraham Lincoln said, and this is probably scriptural, people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Isn't that the truth? It's a choice. We can make a choice to be happy. We can make a choice to live in happiness. We can make a choice to form that habit. And when we make that choice, then that's when we begin to form that. The Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Be glad and rejoice in it. Something David wrote. David went through some interesting times in his life. Running from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him, because after a battle he comes back and the people were saying, Saul killed his thousands and David killed his 10,000s. Saul immediately got jealous and wanted to kill David. David was looking on a rooftop one day when he shouldn't have been looking on a rooftop, or when he looked on a rooftop, he should have looked away and put that out of his mind, but he didn't do it, and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath on this rooftop, and he decided that, and she was a beautiful woman, so he decides that he wants her. So he has a relationship with her and has her husband killed. Plots to do that, and in the midst of that, he says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. David, I think, realized that no matter how low in the depths of despair that he got, he realized God had made that day. And he's going to choose happiness. This is a revelation. Take this home with you. If you don't choose to be happy, somebody will steal your joy. That's original. I'm not trying to say that we go about, you know, every day and we go about, you know, all 24 hours a day laughing and, you know, and thinking everything's funny. There are many things in this world that are not happy. And I'm sure that Kyler Bradley's parents right now are, you know, are looking at him and not happy with what they've seen. But I think we can choose to be happy in the midst of despair, because what it will do is it will bring us inner peace. It'll bring us joy. I saw this week. It said, if you're to develop the habit of being happy, then we have to eliminate the habit of unhappiness. You can't have both. There's not enough room in you to be happy, have a habit of happiness and a habit of unhappiness. And that's what David was trying to tell us, I think, in Psalm 118. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in the New Testament. It's John chapter 10. And this starts with verse 7. It says, I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they could have life, indeed, so that they could have life to the fullest. And when I look at that, I'm thinking that there are millions of people in this world that are having life. You know, they get up every morning, take a shower, get dressed, and go to work, grumble all day about how bad work is, wish they had another job, get in their Mercedes, and commute home for an hour stuck in traffic because a semi rolled over on I-75, and get home to a home that they're not happy being in. But you know, that's life. But there's a word in that scripture that I think Jesus wanted us to grab a hold of. He said, I've come that you might have life to the fullest, to the most that you can have. I looked up some synonyms for fullness, and one of them was filled. One of them was exhaustive. One of them was all-inclusive, complete, entire, whole, unabridged, uncut. Whole, inclusive, entire. We make the decision for Jesus from verse 10 because we want to have the fullest life that we can have. Focus on positive things. Don't focus on garbage. Don't focus on negative things. If you do that, you're going to be energized. You can be enthusiastic. You can be excited about what's going to come around. But if you choose to be unhappy, you're going to live in sadness. You're going to live in anger. You're going to live in frustration. You're going to live in a critical spirit of what goes on around you, what goes on where you're at. That doesn't mean that you can't have positive, you know, you don't like something. I'm not saying that. But it's the spirit that within us. God gave us the ability to choose happiness. Like I said earlier, that doesn't mean that we ignore problems because we have problems. But what it does mean, that in spite of the problems in our lives, He can give us happiness. You know, it says in Romans 8:28 that we should be thankful, you know, for in a paraphrase of, you know, of everything that comes into our lives. And that doesn't mean you got to like them. But that got to look at that 29th verse, as I've said before, because He wants to change us into His image. And I do not believe that in spite of all of the things that Jesus faced on this earth when He was here, that He was an unhappy person. I believe that He was probably a happy person. I believe when He got up to teach, He probably told a joke. Well, maybe. I don't see it recorded, but you know. But I don't think Jesus was an unhappy person at all. We can focus on the problem, or we can focus on the solution. We can focus on where we're at, or we can focus on fixing what the situation we're in. You know, I looked at it as I was doing this, and I thought, you know, when I used to go home, and I mentioned this, I think, before, and complain about work. I was one of those complainers. I was one of those people who was unhappy. And Cindy finally said, why don't you just retire? Okay. That will make me happy. And I thought it would. But I got to tell you the truth, the second day when somebody says, have you found a job yet? You're not happy. But she will also tell you that I've got to be doing something all the time. I am not the kind of person that can just sit down and do nothing. So what happens? Well, I joined the staff of another church, and that was fun. I enjoyed that, but that wasn't fulfilling. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it got to where I wasn't happy because I didn't feel like I was wanted. And that might have been a personal thing. But I think it was an uneasiness that God gives in our spirit that you need to look for something else. You need to go somewhere different. You need to step out, Greg, and pray for somebody. You need to step out and say, hey, I'm not happy here. And so what I have found is happiness in a different way. I'll say a more fulfilling way. A joy, a peace, by being here. Creating new relationships. Making new friends. Is everything perfect? No. I could have said yes, but Bill shook his head no. It's not all perfect, but boy, is it good. Psychologists said, those only are happy who have their minds on some object other than their own happiness. On the happiness of others, on the improvement of mankind. And I'm sure the psychologist would agree with Jesus with what he said in John 13. He says, call me teacher. Oh, I forgot the first point, Cindy. God comes first. John 13. Call me teacher and Lord, and you speak correctly because I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. As I have given you an example, just as I have done, you also may do. Excuse me. I assure you, servants aren't greater than the master, nor are those who are sent greater than the one who sent them. Since you know these things, you will be happy if you do them. We talked last week, or the first message in this, about the God habit of putting God first. Because the rest of this stuff isn't going to happen. You know, if you don't put God first. You can sit there and think, I can make that decision, and you know, and maybe you can, but I really don't believe that you can. I think that we have to, when we stop and take a look at that things, that we have to realize that what you believe has a great deal to do with how happy you are. Now, there's some people out and out having a great time and living life and loving life and not really getting the fundamental part of really what life is. We have to know that God loves us. We have to know that He has His eye on us and He's watching over us. We have to know He has a plan for us. God has an awesome plan for each and every person in here. You might sit around and think, well, I don't know what mine is. It's not over until God says it's over. There is something I would be willing to say that He has for everyone in this room today. I can't tell you what it is because I don't know. You got to find that out. Putting God first. Listen to this. Romans 5. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through Him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems. Do I need to read that again? We even take pride in our problems because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame because because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Boy, when you look at problems and you think, boy, that makes me happy. And I know it doesn't. But we still have that inner happiness and that inner peace because I know I can deal with this problem. What all this really means is that, I think, and when we take a look at it, is, clearly kind of tying it into the first point that, God is first is a second thing, that if you stay strong in the midst of trouble, you're developing a powerful habit of being happy. If we can stay strong. It could be a big if. Because sometimes it looks like we feel like we're going to buckle under and we're going to give in. I said earlier that, God has something for everyone. Too many people think life has passed them by. But life hasn't passed anyone by unless you've waved goodbye to it. Think about that. We all have a mission. We all have something to do. Some people think their lives have been less than what they expected. But their plan is not God's plan for your life. Some people think they're a failure. Some people think they're weak. Some people think they're worthless. Some people think they're unloved. But the Bible says we're made in the image of God. So that means we're not unloved. That means we're not worthless. We have to change what we believe about ourselves and start believing in that plan that God has for us. Because I think His best is just before us. You got to change your mind. You got to make a decision. You can't wait for circumstances to change around me and and once this changes, I'll be okay. It's not what it's about. You have to make the decision. The next point is, if you want to change your tomorrows, then you got to change your todays. If you want to change tomorrow, we have to change today. David said, "This is a day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it." He didn't say, "This is a day the Lord has made. Boy, it sucks. This is absolutely the worst day of my life. I know what I did with Bathsheba I shouldn't have done, but, I'm lost. I'm a loser." That's not what he said. "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." We have to take personal responsibility for our happiness. We have to take personal responsibility for our joy. Milton Berle said, "Laughter is a vacation." There's a funny guy. And there's a lot of truth to that. Laughing makes us forget our problems. I said in the past, my goal to make, somebody laugh every day. I'm a few days ahead now. But I've also goofy stuff to Cindy just to get her to laugh. And, she'll think, what an idiot. I know that's what she's thinking. But life is about fun. It's enjoying things. I know, and Greg was sharing about going and praying for Kyler. And I know that was, getting there was not a joy. Because spiritual warfare is a battle. And I'm sure that probably if he'd have had another choice, he would have just as soon not been interviewed on Fox 19. Because Greg wasn't there for Greg. Greg was there for that little 10-year-old boy that needed somebody to pray for him. That somebody in Denver said, "Who's in Cincinnati that can pray for him?" Laughter can and pull a person out of depression. It can pull you out of sadness. If you find somebody that's unhappy, make them laugh. Spend some time with them. Spend time with happy people. Spend time with people that have a smile on their face. And when you encounter the person with a frown on their face, make them happy. Act like a child. I don't care if I ever grow up. It makes no difference to me. I'm enjoying life. It's a precious gift from God. Life really is. And there are no second chances. You only live once. We're not going to come back reincarnated as a dog or anything. We only live once, and we need to make the best out of it. It would be a tragedy if we missed the happy habit, or the habit of being happy. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by a God that made us individual, made each one of us unique. There's not a lot of people that would tolerate me. Amen. Yeah, I mean, because I'm unique, but Cindy has certain gifts that, you know, that allow her to accept me. And I'm not going the other way. But we are happy people, and we enjoy things. It's precious. We are capable of changing. And God has given us some gifts. Listen to this out of Philippians 4:10. It has been a great joy to me that after all this time that you have shown such interest in my welfare. I don't mean that you've forgotten me, but up till now you had no opportunity of expressing your concern. Nor do I mean that I have been in actual need, for I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances maybe. I know now how to live when things are difficult, and I know how to live when things are prosperous. In general, and in particular, I have learned the secret of facing either poverty or strength. I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who loves me. Psalm 137:10, and this is from the Message, says, and kind of the overriding thing here is God is with you. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit? To be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. Isn't that great? You're already there. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same. We can face any situation that we are in and know that God is there to help us. We can have confidence to know that he is there. But I need to make that decision. God's not going to make decisions for us. He just doesn't do that. He'll come to us. He'll search us out. He'll seek us. But we have to make that decision. And so what I'm saying today is approach everything in life with confidence. Make confidence a habit, because confidence will bring you happy. So here's the application for today from John 14:13-14. I will do whatever you ask for in my name, so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. When you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. It must have been pretty important for him to say the same thing in verse 13 and 14. Or he was dealing with some pretty dense people. Or he wanted to prove a point. But it must have been important for him to do it. And if we want to be happy, he says, I will do whatever you ask. I will give you happiness. But we have to make that decision.